This is Kevin Thorne, and while I'm not drinking blood or making out with hot chicks, I kind of like to listen to one of those, what is it called? Another wrestling podcast.
It's time for another wrestling podcast.
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at
the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
They think they got the answers. I changed the question.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
These are the best in the world, brother. These are the best at what they do.
When we talk about the legends of the sport, there's only two in my book.
Another wrestling podcast.
Another wrestling podcast. Now can you dig that, sucker?
Welcome, everybody, to another wrestling podcast. This is episode number 117. I'm Jonathan Benjamin.
And I'm Steve Credo.
Steve, what a monumentous week it has been for professional wrestling. There's been a draft. There has been a pay-per-view that's going to be coming up on Sunday.
How you doing?
We have an amazing guest that's joining us today. So why don't you tell everybody about that?
Man, remember Mordecai, then Kevin Thorne in the new ECW. Guys, he's going to be stopping by. We're going to talk to him about what's happening this weekend with Kevin Thorne and maybe a little bit more about his career as well. First time guest on the show. We'll see what he has to say. So stay tuned for when Kevin Thorne enters the AWP studios.
Well, we talked about the upcoming pay-per-view. That's Battleground. That's going to be emanating live from Washington, D.C. this Sunday. But before that, Let's talk about this draft. Let's talk about how the landscape of professional wrestling has been shaken up once again. It was a good draft. I was pretty excited about it. I really like the feel from the WWE Network. It really feels more, I guess, more comprehensive. It's like ESPN now. A 360-degree view of this thing. They had the live shows that talked about it. They broke down each draft pick. It was really cool. Let's get right into it. They threw us a curveball and gave us six NXT draft picks. What were your thoughts on who maybe you thought was going to get drafted up and who eventually ended up getting drafted?
You know, I think a lot of people were disappointed in the fact that I think, as wrestling fans, we read a lot of these dirt sheets and whatnot, and a lot of them talk the talk, but they don't really can walk the walk when backing a lot of things up. So sometimes you read things online and it gets our hopes up to where, I was thinking, a lot of these guys in NXT, especially guys like Austin Aries, Bobby Roode, Samoa Joe, I figured, they kind of placed these guys in NXT as placeholders to, to where they didn't have to bring them up to the main roster right away, to where they could just let them simmer down in NXT just for a brief period of time. And then what better place to bring them up would have been the draft. And I think things that I read online were, they're gonna possibly bring back some former WWE stars, or they're going to, I don't know, any surprises. There was no surprises. Like, there was no, some guy that, I don't know. It was just the straight-up roster being drafted. I guess we read a little bit too much into it, but, as far as these NXT call-ups, I was hoping for a lot of these TNA guys to be called up, and they weren't. You had Finn Balor. Everybody knew that was happening. You wanted it to happen. A lot of people wanted him to debut in a different way. But, it's the reality era. They're going to, make this as real, like a draft, like for any other sport. So why not draft them in the first round of draft picks? But Nia Jax, I don't know. I think out of anybody, Nia Jax and Mojo Rawley are probably the only two that I'm kind of about. Because, I don't know, Mojo Rawley, I don't think has any character behind him. Granted, he's hyper, but I don't know, there's nothing that really appeals to me or makes me want to be a fan. And Nia Jax, I get it, she's large, she's The Rock's cousin, but still, I think she's still green, she's still new, she still needs a lot to work out. And I don't know. I think the only reason she's being called up is that because she's not tiny, she's a big girl, and I think that's about it. Maybe sliding there, like I said, that she's The Rock's cousin, but I don't know. I think they could have definitely brought in Samoa Joe or somebody else like that. I was really hoping for some of those guys, because right now NXT is pretty much TNA light, if you will. I don't know. They have a lot of former TNA stars in there, and it's not so much new up-and-comers, developmental talent that I think NXT should be, but I don't know. That's where I stand. I think that I was just disappointed in at least two of those picks.
Well, as disappointed as you were in those two picks, I couldn't have been more excited for we had Alexa Bliss coming to SmackDown, and we also have American Alpha that came up to SmackDown as well. So I'm very excited for these three individuals. You know, we've seen a lot of NXT lately. We've seen some live shows. We've been to some live shows in Albany and Poughkeepsie, and I was very impressed by all three of them. And I'm hoping that they get a fair shake whenever they get there and that they don't get lost in the shuffle. You know, this had the potential to, you know, be disastrous this entire draft, because you never know what's going to happen. But I feel like that they did a good, like, kind of balance. I feel like Raw is still, like, the way that Raw's been the last year. But with the changes that they made on SmackDown, I'm pretty excited about what can happen. SmackDown Live, it's a big endeavor. USA Network was wanting them to kind of get some better ratings because they're taped SmackDown. And that's the other thing is, you know, everybody sees those spoilers and then they don't really watch the show. So with it being live now, I think it's going to help bring the product to a new level. And I'm pretty happy about it. But we did find out some other news. They kind of let it slip. I don't know if they meant to or not, but they keep saying that Raw is going to be, you know, action-packed and we're going to have to watch and wait and find out what all is going to happen. But they did mention that the cruiserweights are going to be exclusive to Raw. So this begs the question, are they going to pretty much after this Cruiserweight Classic just bring all of those people up? Are there going to, you know, be specific ones that they choose? I don't know exactly how I feel about this yet, but I'm glad to see that they're still paying attention to the cruiserweights. What were your thoughts whenever you heard this about the cruiserweight division on Raw?
No, yeah, definitely. I want to be one of those marks that say called it. You know, I'm telling you, when they first announced this Cruiserweight Classic, I really wanted them to make a title to present it. Now, this is not said that it's happening, but hopefully they lean towards it. Right now, they just show a graphic of a trophy. I hope the winner gets more than a trophy. I hope the winner gets the brand new Cruiserweight Championship. Now, granted, maybe they'll just have a tournament for on Raw, but still, I think the winner of this classic should be the new Cruiserweight Champion and have, be drafted to Raw right away. From there, I'm trying to think, you know, the current roster, like, I want to see everybody on the wall, like, what their weight is and who could fit into this Cruiserweight class, if you will. A lot of people said, hey, Kalisto would have been perfect, but they moved into SmackDown. So I guess maybe they're not going to have any of the current roster members on the Cruiserweight division. Maybe they are just going to bring in guys that were on the Classic. I'm not sure how they're going to do it. It'll be interesting, definitely, for sure. But I'm just curious to where the current roster, you know, if any of these lighter guys will just get moved into this division. And, you know, maybe they won't be used like Rey Mysterio to win a World Heavyweight Championship again. Maybe they'll just keep the smaller guys in the Cruiserweight division. I don't know. It's still yet to be seen what's going to happen, but I'm excited. I love the Cruiserweight division. I've always loved it. I always wanted it to come back. I think it ended on a sour note with Hornswoggle being the last Cruiserweight champion. So I'm kind of excited to what they could possibly do in this day and age. I remember when the WWE brought actually the light heavyweight championship in. I was actually at that pay-per-view. It was the DX pay-per-view in your house. That's when it was Taka Michinoku versus Brian Christopher for the light heavyweight championship. And that was at a time that WWE was trying to compete with WCW in their Cruiserweight championship. So it's interesting because then versus now, it's a totally different world. They definitely have a lot of guys who are right for it. I'm just kind of curious who's going to be in that division. They really haven't said anything except for it's coming back to Raw, exclusively for Raw. Do you find it's weird that it's just exclusively for Raw? Why can't it just be for everybody and we just have one cruiserweight match a show? I don't know.
Well, that makes me think that they're going to do something different on SmackDown too, because we still don't know what's going to happen with these titles. We have Miz right now is on SmackDown. We have Rusev's on Raw, but after this pay-per-view this Sunday, that could change. The title, you know, the titles could change hands, and then you could have both titles on SmackDown. You could have, and we don't know exactly what's going to happen with the championship, the women's championship. So there's still some stuff that has to get sorted out for us. So I'm thinking that maybe a few of the championships will be on SmackDown, maybe exclusively, which opens up the door for the cruiserweights to be exclusively on SmackDown, at least for the time being. But I have to talk about my boy Cesaro right now. I've got to talk about the fire that he spit on poor little JoJo. They showed him after he got drafted, and he spoke about how he wasn't too happy that he was drafted on Raw. And he wasn't happy that the only thing that they were talking about was Stephanie McMahon and Mick Foley. And he kind of brought to light some more of those sentiments that when Vince McMahon was on the podcast, talked about how Cesaro is one of those guys who hasn't exactly grabbed the brass ring yet. He made some allusions to that. And some people are saying that it was scripted, and some people are saying that it was not. I'm happy if Cesaro gets the spotlight now, he could definitely be a champion. I don't know why he hasn't been the heavyweight champion yet, but what did you think about the promo?
No, definitely. I don't think it was scripted. You could tell it was coming straight off the hip in a way to where he's holding himself back a little bit because he doesn't want to get in too much trouble. But, you know, he didn't really curse or anything that was that bad. But, you know, it's still definitely it was a heartfelt promo. To where, you know, Cesaro can walk the walk. He can talk. Maybe he's not the greatest on the mic in the world, but he's still decent. The man can talk. The man can walk. You know, he could do it all. I don't see why they don't, you know, love him yet. The fans love him. They love him no matter what situation they put him in. And it's a shame. So hopefully if they do end up with two world championships, I hope guys like Cesaro will get that that spotlight. Because right now, I'm kind of getting old of the whole. I'm kind of getting sick of the whole Shield love affair. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Seth Rollins as champ. I'm over Dean Ambrose. I could care less about Roman Reigns, but I'm sick of the little love fest going on. I want to see a new champion that's not in the Shield. Something different. Something that's just totally out of left field. And I think Cesaro would be great. Especially as a champion on Raw. So I'm still curious, though, because we don't really know if they're going to split up the world championships, world titles, or what they're doing exactly. But Cesaro, I could definitely see within the next year or so is going to be a world champ. I hope they give him that push and understand that the fans will embrace him a lot more than they embrace their golden boy, Roman Reigns. So, you know, I don't know. Cesaro is a win-win, in my opinion. I mean, no matter what you give him, he outshines. And he backs it up in the ring. The man could do it all. So I really hope he gets that spotlight and gets the nodding and gets a world championship in WWE.
Well, we have to talk about this a little bit. There was, as you mentioned earlier, a lot of people were thinking that Kurt Angle was going to come back or that Jeff Hardy or somebody from WWE's past was going to get drafted. That did not happen. But what did you think what was your biggest surprise on draft day?
The biggest surprise, Jonathan, I would have to go with the two split-ups with the Wyatts and the club. Bray Wyatt and Eric Rowan are on SmackDown. Braun Strowman's on Raw. And then you have AJ Styles on SmackDown and Anderson and Gallows on Raw. So they split up the club. They split up the Wyatts again. I have no idea. I mean, I feel like they just turned AJ Styles heel. They just made this faction like weeks ago, months, maybe a month or so ago. But it hasn't been a while. So it's still so fresh that it's like, and we're going to stop it. So I'm kind of curious to what's going to happen with this. If maybe they refuse to be on one show unless they're on the show with AJ, I don't know what's going to happen. But I was surprised by that. I was surprised by the split up of the club and the Wyatts. I mean, I feel like they split up the Wyatts, and Rowan and Harper really got lost in the shuffle until they started teaming together, tag teaming. And then even with that, it wasn't too much. And then they kind of brought the Wyatts back together because they realized they were better as a faction. And now you're going to split up Braun Strowman, who still has yet to, I think, really sink his feet into the ground in the WWE. So I don't know. Is he going to still be a Wyatt? Or, I mean, are they going to change him up a little bit? That's what I'm surprised about, Jonathan. I know I'm going to talk about this all night, but just splitting those guys up out of anybody else. They could have split up Golden Truth. I wouldn't have cared. They could have split up Breeze Dango. I could have, you know, but they split up these guys, and I'm still wondering why.
I guess my biggest surprise was what happened at the end of the draft and what we're just now starting to hear about. But Bo Dallas, Curtis Axel are on Raw. Heath Slater he went undrafted. And there's an article out now that's talking about the possibility of Heath Slater going to Evolve. We know that WWE has somewhat of a relationship with Evolve right now. So it's going to be very interesting. I really like this. It makes everything seem more real, and it makes everything seem more suspenseful. At any moment, you know, one of these guys can go to Evolve, or, you know, they can do these Cruiserweight Classic things with, you know, at other wrestling shows. It just opens up an entire new world of possibility for professional wrestling. So I'm really excited about it. I think Heath Slater is definitely a great talent. I don't know if you guys saw that he got busted open to the bone the other day, which that's why he had his stitches on the side of his eye. But I was surprised. You know, it was funny to have him at the end and they shut the lights off and all that stuff. But truly, I'm very interested to see what happens with Heath Slater. So yeah. I guess that would be my surprise of the whole draft.
Sure. And I'm surprised right now that there's really hasn't been like, so-and-so wants to be traded, and, you know, like just funny little trades like online, like they could have updates like breaking news, like, somebody, you know, wants to be traded, or SmackDown is trading this guy for this guy or something like that, just to make it, you know, entice it a little bit more as a real draft. And I guess I'm surprised we haven't seen that. Maybe we will in the upcoming days. Who knows? But it's sure been an interesting week, Jonathan. Also, we also tell everybody to Facebook us, to tweet us, to Instagram us. We'll put up some questions. You can even call the AWP hotline, 802-297-7672, or you can just leave us comments and we'll read your responses. Now, Jonathan, speaking of that, we asked people about the draft this weekend. So, Jonathan, I told everybody on Twitter, you know, as well as Instagram, I told us to tell us their thoughts on the WWE draft and what they had to say. At BrandonNG3701, he said the draft was sick. At Evolution of Mike, he said, should have kept the club together. SMH. Shake my head, Jonathan. At Moraltha says, should have had all tag teams on one and the women on another. Jonathan, what do you think about that? Should they have split the tag teams up in the women's division, or keep it like it is, separate on each side?
I like having a little bit on both. That way, I mean, because then it kind of gets the competition that we're looking for. So the women's championship may be on Raw, but at least during the year, I think they said that four pay-per-views, they'll be like cross-promoting, so SmackDown versus Raw for four pay-per-views. So that's awesome. I think that gives you more matchups. It gives you all different kinds of things. So SmackDown may not have the tag team belts on it, but they're still a thriving tag team division. And at some point, you know, they'll have their number one contender who will face the people who have the belts on Raw. So I'm excited about it.
Definitely. And Kay Ballard 27 says he loved the draft, the Hype Bros and American Alpha on SmackDown. Yeah, so he's a Hype Bros fan. I wonder if they'll bring them back together on SmackDown or keep them separate. Who knows? Anything could happen, I guess. But Jonathan, Mojo Rawley, Zack Ryder, is it safe to say we're going to see the Hype Bros on SmackDown?
I think so, but I hope not. So, you know, it's one of those things. I don't like whenever they randomly throw people together, and that's kind of what happened with the Hype Bros. That's what happened with Golden Truth. That's what happened with Breeze Dango. You know, the cream rises to the top. There's always a Marty, if you will, and I think it's just time will tell who the Marty is in all of those partnerships. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Hype Bros. If you also follow us on Instagram at Another Wrestling Podcast, we got Smart1 said he was surprised to see Nia Jax to come up before Bayley. Now, what do you think about this? It seems like the entire WWE universe was upset that we didn't get Bayley. Do you think it's time for Bayley to come up? Do you think she still has unfinished business in NXT? What are your thoughts on that?
Jonathan, I think we're going to get some hate mail on this one. Don't get me wrong. I have nothing wrong with Bayley. But I think everybody's treating, why didn't we get Bayley? Why didn't we get Bayley as if she was the greatest wrestling goddess in all of the land? Granted, she's a great wrestler. And hear me out. I'm not saying I hate her. I'm just saying I think she's overhyped to we want her. Because we have Sasha Banks, we have Becky Lynch, we have a lot of women on the roster we don't even use now, and I feel like out of the four horsewomen, Bayley was the fourth one that you would pick in a lineup of who you want to be on your kickball team, you know what I'm saying? Granted, yeah, I would love to see her move up, but I feel like there's so many girls right now that they're not even doing anything with. And I don't know what to do. I mean, even this Sunday, before we even get into it, the boss is going to have a mystery partner, and some people are saying it's Bayley. Some people say it could be Nikki Bella. I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, I'm not disappointed that Bayley wasn't chosen over Nia Jax. I'm just disappointed that Nia Jax was brought in alone, regardless. But I don't know. I Bayley is definitely overdue to be on the main roster. I think she's even been there since FCW. I think she even started with a masked gimmick. She was a masked diva. But at the same time, you know, I think she's paid her dues in NXT. She should be moved up, but I'm not disappointed that she wasn't moved up. I'm just kind of disappointed that there wasn't really, I don't know, bigger names that moved up. But anyway,
Bayley. Once again, that is Steve Fredo. He lives in Westchester, you live in Dutchess County.
At Bayley sucks at gmail.com, we can answer. No, she doesn't suck. I'm not saying I hate her, but just, you know what I mean? To where I think she's overhyped as being the greatest women's wrestler of all time. Why is she on the show? You know what I mean? So, granted, I don't know. Maybe they just didn't want to lose all the star power right away. They kind of have to have her down there to just put over some more girls. I have no idea. But I feel like the fans love her a lot more than WWE loves her right now. Granted, I know that's totally a missaying, but I feel like the main roster guys, the Raw management, the owners, the guys behind the scenes just could care less about some of these NXT names the way we care about them. So, I don't know. Long story short, I'm not upset that she wasn't moved up. I think she'll probably even be Sunday show as a surprise guest. And, you know, hey, we'll see what happens. But, hey, Bayley, hug me one more time. I don't know.
Well, that's how easy it is, ladies and gentlemen. Just listen to the show and get involved. You can follow us on all forms of social media. You can call us. We have our very own hotline at 802-AWP-7672. That is 802-297-7672. Please call and set Steve Credo straight, and I want to hear what you guys think about what he just said. I have my opinion, but we'll wait on that. But Steve, without further ado, it's time to bring in one of the vampires of professional wrestling. Mr. Kevin Thorne is here with us, so let's bring him in.
Destroyer.
All right, joining us on the show tonight is quite possibly one of the coolest characters to ever come out of professional wrestling. He's wrestled all over the world and is still going strong today. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm Another Wrestling Podcast welcome to Mr. Kevin Thorne. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us today. How's everything going?
Oh, man, everything's going great, guys. Everything's going good. I'm actually in Nashville, Tennessee right now with the natural Chase Stevens and Les Briscoe at the moment. I was eating dinner with them. We're doing an AWA show here in Nashville this weekend, tomorrow night in Sparta and then Mount Pleasant. So it's a good little weekend of wrestling.
Sure. Now, speaking of Tennessee, you grew up in Tennessee, which has always been a hotbed for pro wrestling. Did you watch wrestling as a child? And if so, who were some of your favorites?
I did watch wrestling as a child. Growing up in Tennessee, in Memphis, you had Channel 5, USWA, Lawler, Dundee, Southern wrestling at its finest is what I grew up on. It was 11 o'clock every Saturday morning, and I wasn't really allowed to watch it in my house because my dad's a Baptist minister, but I always snuck out over to my friend's house to check out what was going on the local wrestling channel.
All right. Now, wrestling was and is a very important part of your life. How was it that you actually found yourself inside the wrestling ring? How did you get from just being a fan to becoming a professional wrestler?
I was working at a Gold's Gym in Memphis, Tennessee, and Sid Vicious used to work out there. And one thing led to another. We became workout partners, and he basically asked me if I wanted to go to a ring and learn how to wrestle, and I did, and there you go, man. The rest is history.
Sure. When you began training to become a professional wrestler, was it what you expected, or was it more difficult?
It's kind of what I expected. I always played football and everything else. I was always real physical, so I needed that physicality in my life. I mean, it was just a great outlet, a great outlet to number one, entertain, but also a great outlet to, just be physical. It was an easy transition for me for sure.
Okay. Now, not long after you started, wrestling, you broke onto the independent scene and you were a character named Seven. Now, you mentioned earlier a little bit about your father being a preacher. What was the idea behind this character, Seven?
It was basically based off seven deadly sins. Kind of Catholicism a little bit. The movie is Seven. It just come out. It seemed like a good way to transition into like a horror amount, kind of character that was against, mankind and sin.
All right. Now, not long after starting on the indies, you started wrestling for OVW, which was WWE's developmental brand at the time. Who were some of the people in your class at that time, and how big of a change was wrestling for OVW compared to wrestling on the indies?
OVW was way more structured and stuff. You're up at other classes at 8 o'clock in the morning with Rip Rogers, who's breathing down your neck, but teaching you so much. It definitely was a little bit different. OVW really didn't care about promoting, they had the Wednesday night wrestling for the OVW show, but the, house shows weren't anything spectacular or anything. It was just, learning your craft kind of thing. You were there to learn. It was all around learning experience there, as far as that was concerned.
Okay. Now, you enjoyed a lot of success in OVW before being called up into SmackDown in 2003. for. When you got called up, you were called up as Mordecai. Now, this character was a little bit different than what you've been doing before. How much input did you get to have in the creative process, and did they kind of give you an ultimate goal for this character?
Yeah, the ultimate goal was to go against Taker. It was a little bit different. As far as we didn't concentrate on the seven deadly sins, as far as being seven, but I mean, it was kind of still, holier than thou, rabid priest that came to save the world kind of thing. That was definitely, it could have gone a very, very, very far. It just was a bad timing on my part.
Now, you also while in the WWE, you wrestled as Kevin Thorne. This came about shortly after WWE relaunched ECW. Were you a fan of the original ECW, and what were your thoughts on WWE's reboot?
I mean, ECW was, the original was, legendary. Paul Heyman, Tommy Dreamer, those guys, they just came up with a concept, and got guys over. Just ridiculously, the way they did it. It wasn't your standard, cookie cutter wrestling at the time. I think people, it's just like wrestling now that the fans evolve. As a fan, you had the wrestling buddies, you had this and that. Years prior to that, and then you're coming up and you're getting in, to your prime as a teenager, and you wanted to see sex and you wanted to see violence, you want to see all that stuff, and ECW brought that to life, as opposed to the milk and cookie stuff that WWE was doing at the time.
All right, now you came in to ECW as a vampire-esque kind of gimmick, but the rumor is that you were supposed to come in as part of a group consisting of Ariel and Gangrel. Do you know what kind of happened here, why that never came to fruition?
I have no idea. I wish it would have. Being with Ariel was awesome. Shelley was phenomenal. I think Gangrel would have made it just over the top. And I still don't know why that is. Gangrel's a very good friend of mine, and I never understood it. To me, he's the OG of vampires. Vampire Warrior, Gangrel. He's it. Him and Luna were the shit. I don't really know. I still don't have that answer. I think it would have been even that much cooler. Mm-hmm. It would have been over the top cool. I don't know.
Sure.
It's one of those things where you look back and you're like, I don't get it. Like this weekend I'm wrestling, Gangrel, and he's the original gangster, he's it, still the coolest entrance music to this day. One of the coolest individuals out there in the wrestling business. To have the opportunity to tag with him and everything else would have been awesome.
All right. During this point in your career in ECW, ECW originals were pitted against the new breed. How did the locker room get along at this point? And was there any tension between the originals and the new ECW wrestlers?
Oh, no, man. The original guys were, the coolest cats on the earth. They still are. They knew that they built a franchise with ECW. It was just fun. We beat the shit out of each other in the ring, but it was always a good time. They knew their stuff better than anything. They knew how to get over it. They knew how to make it easy for us to get over by beating them up. Never.
Now, many wrestlers go their entire career without having their WrestleMania moment. You, however, got one during WrestleMania 23 in Detroit, Michigan. What were your personal thoughts about that match and your experience wrestling for nearly 100,000 people?
I just remember walking out the curtain and looking around and being like, holy shit, this is insane, you know, to a sea of people. And then walking back to the back and, you know, knowing now that I've met the future president of the United States and Donald Trump. I mean, it was insane. I mean, surreal moments in life that you don't ever think you're going to be blessed with. And I got one.
Sure. Now, we mentioned before that during your time in the WWE, some ideas were pitched to you that never materialized. What are some other ideas that maybe never saw the light of day? Was there anything that they had any ideas for you?
Nothing extraordinary by any means. I mean, no.
All right. Now, you've spent a long time in the wrestling business. What would you say is the single greatest piece of advice that you've received during your career?
Shawn Michaels, one time in Milan, Italy, told me to not be so nice. Maybe not be so yes or no, sir. And maybe be, you know, more of a dick sometimes when it came to managing my career. And that's probably the one piece of advice I wish I would have ran with more than I did, you know.
All right. Now, Kevin, do you still keep up with what's going on today in the world of pro wrestling on TV? I think there's just so much happening. Is there anything that you watch? Are you still in tune with it?
No, not enough. Yeah. My son's in sports. My daughter's in sport. I've got so much going on that it is hard to keep up with. I mean, I try to watch and stuff. Like the Wyatts. I love them. When I have a chance to watch, the New Day. You know, some of those guys, they do some great stuff. But I mean, trying to keep up with it anymore, it's a lot of time I just don't have.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned Gangrel earlier, and it seems like you really enjoy his work. But as a wrestling vampire, people probably tend to compare and contrast your portrayal against, you know, all the other wrestling vampires. Where do you think you rank amongst all of the professional wrestling vampires out there?
Well, I mean, if you're not a mark for yourself, who you mark for? I'm number one, but the rest are pretty cool too.
That's awesome.
Now, Kevin, I know you're still very active on the independent scene. You'll be appearing along with Road Warrior Animal, Simon Dean, Bull James, and with John and Chad from the Two-Man Power Trip of Wrestling podcast at WrestlePro on Saturday night, July 23rd in Union, New Jersey. That evening, WrestlePro presents a card where the fans book the matches and where you will be facing Bull James for the very first time. Tickets are available at WrestlePROonline.com or by visiting the Two-Man Power Trip of Wrestling's Facebook page. What can you tell us about facing Bull James for the very first time? Any thoughts about that match?
I hope he's gotten in a lot better shape since he left next, because I'm going to kick the shit out of him. But other than that, I mean, you know, he likes carrying big chains to the ring and all that, and I work out with big chains, so I have no problem throwing those around his fucking neck and throwing him over the top rope. So,
there you go.
It'll be fun. I've never, House of Hardcore in Philly, I had the opportunity to get in the ring and punt Bull in the face a couple times and Billy Gunn. But, this time it's just me and him, so I look forward to the chance to beat on him a little bit, and I hope he's looking forward to the chance of beating on me a little bit.
All right, favorite vampire movie or TV show of all time?
The Lost Boys, no question.
All right, thoughts on Paul Heyman?
Genius.
What would the title of your autobiography be?
Well, fuck.
Favorite thing about Indiana?
That Mike Pence is going to be the vice president with Trump, and he'll no longer be governor.
Okay, thoughts about The Undertaker?
One of the coolest guys I've ever met.
All right, can you sum up your wrestling career in one word?
Well, fuck.
Shelly Martinez.
Hot as fuck.
Great. Kevin Thorne, where can people find you on social media today and keep up with you?
The Kevin Fertig. No longer Kevin. I'm still Kevin Thorne, but the Kevin Fertig, my real last name, everything else on Facebook. I have a page, Kevin Thorne Fertig, and Instagram, the Kevin Fertig 2.
All right. Is there any place that people can get, you know, merchandise or anything like that?
Go to Two Man Power Trip, their website. They're kind of doing all my stuff because I'm an idiot on the computer. So they've kind of taken over and helping me out. So thetwomanpowertrip.com, I think it is, that, you know, 8x10s, all that stuff. And then Pro Wrestling Tees has a shirt site for me, too.
Great. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for your time. It was great talking with you. Hope to have you on the show again sometime in the near future.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Thanks for talking to me.
Today's show is brought to you by... Have you ever dreamed of being a professional wrestler? Then the Platinum Fitness Professional Wrestling School is the school you want. Located in Danbury, Connecticut, and led by Randy Sean Lockwood, a pro wrestler with over 15 years experience. Randy brings his passion for wrestling, as well as his vast knowledge to the school, with many guest trainers to enhance your knowledge, skill, and performance. If you're looking to make your dreams a reality inside the squared circle, then the Platinum Fitness Professional Wrestling School is your best choice. Call 203-628-7757 or visit PlatinumFitnessCT.com for more information.
This is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to another wrestling podcast in association with CelebVM. Order a personal video message from me and many other wrestlers and celebrities now. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
That's right. Head on over to celebvm.com/AWP.
Get a personal video message for yourself or as a gift for someone else. For personal connections, shout-outs, birthdays, proposals, weddings, and much more. Enter your details about yourself so the celebrity can record a personal video message especially for you, including details such as your name, age, birthday, hobbies, or whatever else you include. As soon as the video has been recorded, you'll get an email with your link so you can share it on social media or download and keep it. Celebrities record videos as and when they can, usually within 2 weeks. But if you want a video for a specific date and it does not look like it will arrive in time, you can cancel it and get an instant refund at the click of a button. There are hundreds of celebrities to choose from and many more joining every day. Search by category or genre. Buy a gift voucher, get updates and offers, and encourage your favorite celebrities to join so they can connect with fans in a fun and unique way, raise money for their charities, and much more. So order your video now for yourself or for someone else.
Celebrity Video Messages and Another Wrestling Podcast team up. Be sure to head on over to celebvm.com/AWP.
We also want to give a huge shout out and thank our sponsor for this week, Extreme Sets. Extreme Sets bring to you the perfect arena setup. Bring your action figures to life. For over 30 years, wrestling fans have been waiting to take their action figure collection to the next level. Extreme Sets now offers products such as the incredible arena pop-up, ring mats to surround your wrestling ring in 3 versions, and backstage pop-up in 2 versions. The wait is finally over and the dream is now a reality. The arena pop-up is a must-have for kids and collectors alike. It allows you to live the unpredictable action of sports entertainment. This knockout arena pop-up and Remax can be combined with other action figures and rings to stage the ultimate wrestling showdown. Relive the past or use your imagination to create the future. The choice is yours. The possibilities are endless with arena pop-up setup. You have the option on expanding the arena by connecting 2 arena pop-ups together for an even bigger arena. Arena pop-up setup works great for action figure photography and stop-motion animation. Take the most amazing photos or get to work and animate. Capture your social media by storm by posting your amazing work. All products are to scale to your favorite 6-inch action figures. Are you ready to take your playset or collection to a new level of excellence. That is extremesets.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot say enough about this. It is so much detail that goes into these products. We use them. We love them. Be sure to tell them that another wrestling podcast sent you. Extremesets.com. You can find them on Instagram at extremesets. You can find them on Facebook, facebook.com/extremesets, or you can find them on Twitter at extremesets.
See Kurt Angle, Cody Rhodes, and the Hardy Boys live as Northeast Wrestling and the Hudson Valley Renegades present Wrestling Under the Stars at Dutchess Stadium in Wapichers Falls, New York, Saturday, August 27th. See Kurt Angle battle Cody Rhodes. Jeff Hardy takes on Japanese legend Jushin Liger, plus Matt Hardy, Jerry Lawler, Hornswoggle, The Now, and much more. Autograph session with all the stars before the matches. Tickets start at only $20. Available now at northeastwrestling.com and the Dutchess Stadium box office. See the Hardy Boys, Kurt Angle, Cody Rhodes, and more live at Dutchess Stadium on August 27th. Visit northeastwrestling.com for more info.
This weekend is WWE Battleground from Washington, D.C. The last pay-per-view of the combined roster that we might see in a while, until who knows when, but show versus show in a lot of these matches, Raw versus SmackDown, even though it's not really billed that way because we're not really used to the fact that we have separate rosters. So this is really isn't too much of a big deal right now, but even though it technically is some Raw versus Raw, some SmackDown versus SmackDown, Raw versus SmackDown, yada, yada, yada. But it's a battleground now, Jonathan. Maybe they'll use this every year as a pay-per-view where they do have Raw versus SmackDown on it. So I guess let's start from the bottom and work our way to the top and give our thoughts about some of these matches.
Yeah, let's do this. We will start from kind of I don't really know what the bottom of this pay-per-view is. I do know what the main event's probably going to be, but let's just get into it. Sasha Banks and versus Charlotte and Dana Brooke. Now, Charlotte and Dana Brooke stayed together throughout the draft, but now we have the boss on Raw, and who is that person going to be? So we, you know, you kind of said some of the people that they're saying. Right now, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm also going to say that it's not going to be Bayley, but I do think it could be a returning Nikki Bella. So regardless, I think the boss walks away with the win on this one. What about you?
Yeah, you know, that's the big question mark of who is going to be your partner, because they don't really do this that often. And if they throw like Paige in there or somebody, I'm just going to like, I don't know. I'm just going to say some, I don't know. I'm going to be pissed off maybe, because it's just like, well, why did you even, you know, why even have this question mark if it's not somebody that's returning or not somebody that's moving up or whatnot? Hey, maybe it could even be Nia Jax, who is on Raw now, or Carmella, you know what I mean? So it could be one of the girls that have moved up but really haven't made a debut yet. Who knows? Maybe they're going to go that route. I think we think into it too much to where, oh, it's got to be Bayley. Well, no, it doesn't really have to be, because she wasn't even mentioned on the draft or anything, so she probably still has unfinished business to do in NXT they want her to do. I'm going to probably even lean towards, you know, now that it could be one of the draftees that were on it. Maybe Eva Marie, huh? All red with all pink hair? I don't know. Either way, I don't know, Jonathan. I think you're right, though. I think they'll give it to Sasha and question mark. But Charlotte, they're really behind Charlotte. She's been on every, I don't know how many pay-per-views now in a row. She's holding a little streak of her own, but I don't know. I think the Flair train is running out of steam, and I think we need a new women's champion by SummerSlam. So hopefully this Sasha Banks and question mark match will put them in the right step to see possibly Sasha versus Charlotte at SummerSlam. We'll see what happens. But moving right along, Jonathan, the New Day versus the Wyatt family. We had a little deletion, if you will, a few weeks ago on Raw, New Day versus the Wyatt family at their compound. Now we're going to have them versus each other at Battleground. What do you see that's going to happen in this match?
All right, so we do have a pretty, I think, evenly matched match here. We have the New Day versus the Wyatt family. I am really digging this feud right now. I don't know what it was. I can see where people would think that the whole final deletion thing, I get it, but it was totally different, and I really enjoyed it. So I'm looking forward to this. This will unfortunately probably be the end of this little run that they have, since they're all drafted to different places now. So You know, WWE is constantly changing things. This could end up being for the tag belts. I don't think that it will. But if I had to guess right now, I'm going to say that the New Day pulls out the win, which is the last thing that needs to happen. You know, I think Bray, if they ever want him to be more than just kind of a mid-card guy, they have to let him have some high-profile wins. So I'm just a little hopeful that they have Bray Wyatt win.
Yeah, you know, and this, like you said, this is the pay-per-view right before these guys go on to their shows, and they won't see each other again. I think the Wyatts probably need a little bit more steam behind them, and I think giving them a win over the New Day will put them in just that place, a new spot. But also, you know, things change all the time. This could be changed to a tag team title match last minute. Who knows what's going to happen? It happens all the time, though. But if it did, Jonathan, and the Wyatts won the tag team championships, what does that happen for, you know, is it just Bray Wyatt and then Eric Rowan? And then, you know, Braun Strowman goes to Raw, or what happens? So, you know, there's a lot of little wrenches you could throw into the wheel and change a lot of things. But I don't know. I guess it's always just fun to speculate on what if, right?
Yeah, and this is, you know, we've got a lot of these matchups, unfortunately and fortunately, at Battleground, where we have groups of people that have been split up now due to the draft. So it's going to be very interesting, and we'll get right into the next one because we've got John Cena, Enzo, and Cass versus the Club. Now, we don't know exactly what's going to happen here because John Cena is on SmackDown, Enzo and Cass are on Raw, AJ Styles is on SmackDown, and the rest of the Club is on Raw. So it's going to be another kind of cool dynamic to see what happens. I'm thinking, just if I have to throw something out here, that Cena, Enzo, and Cass are going to walk away with the win. And maybe it would be the wet dream of the collective IWC if Finn Balor came out and took up the reign as the leader of the Club now that AJ Styles is going to be on SmackDown. So I'm saying that could happen. I think that the WWE powers that be probably won't let it happen right away because it's going to be a big build, but that's what I think is going to happen. I think Cena, Enzo, and Cass are going to walk away the winners.
You know, this whole draft and the split up has definitely made my mind think about a lot of possibilities that could happen. You know, granted, the Club was just kind of formed weeks ago, it feels like. What if, you know, Anderson and Gallows turn on AJ Styles to where they cost him the match where AJ gets pinned again? Because we just saw on Raw Cena beat Gallows. So, I mean, anything could happen with this scenario. I mean, like I said, these guys aren't going to be seeing each other in this exact matchup again for maybe a very long time with the split up. So it's going to be interesting. You know, get those guys could turn on AJ, or I don't know, something could happen. There's just so many possibilities, I can't even think about it. But I'm hoping for a Club win, and then them just saying, you know, we're not going to Raw, we're not going to SmackDown, and they just kind of follow each other. Once again, wishful Mark thinking, but I don't know, something's got to happen. But hey, we'll never know till we know, right? Jonathan, you know, there's other championships on the line at this pay-per-view to where I feel that they could jump ship already before they even started on the ship. First off, with the U.S. Championship, Rusev versus Zack Ryder. Now, Zack Ryder just won the IC Championship at WrestleMania, lost it the very next night, but he also is a former U.S. champion. He could be a two-time U.S. champion. Do you think Zack Ryder has what it takes to beat Rusev this weekend, and could the U.S. Championship go over to SmackDown instead?
Well, I feel that one of these are going to change. I don't know, because we got Rusev on Raw, we got Ryder on SmackDown, we got Miz on SmackDown, and Darren Young on Raw. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I don't think that Ryder is going to become the U.S. champion. Something tells me that it's going to stay with Rusev. You know, this is where it gets a little bit ridiculous for me. You bring Rusev in, he's this unstoppable guy, he's undefeated, no one can break out of the accolade. I'm sure Zack Ryder lost to him many times during that run, And, you know, he's got this huge match against Cena at Mania and so on and so forth. But now we're to believe that Zack Ryder is an actual threat to his championship. I don't believe it, and I don't think any of the other WWE universe are buying it either. So I don't think Rusev walks away. And even if he does lose, he's still the winner because Lana got drafted with him. So that's all that matters. I love Rusev. I've got a new love for Rusev. He's probably one of the best kept secrets of the roster, and I think that he is going to do big things if he doesn't in 2016. By the time 2017 rolls around, we may see a WWE champion in Rusev.
Definitely. And I'm pulling for Zack Ryder only because I feel like SmackDown is that B show where the U.S. Championship should be and that the IC Championship should be on Raw. But that's just me. And speaking of IC Championship, who do we have?
Well, we have none other than The Miz with Maurice going against Darren Young with Bob Backlund. I'm assuming that crazy Bob Backlund and Maurice will probably get into some sort of scrape, but I don't know. I think that Darren Young is showing something that we haven't seen out of him for a while, whether they've kind of held him down or if he's just given the opportunity now. I don't know, but I like this Darren Young. I do not like The Miz. That's a well-known fact. I respect what he does, but I just am not a fan of him as a character as a whole. But I wish Darren Young would win, but I don't really have any thoughts about this either way, to be honest.
Well, you know, going back to the old school days, you know, the IC champion was like always on the workhorse, if you will. Now, granted, The Miz does a lot of stuff outside WWE and inside WWE. Whether you love him or hate him, you know, he definitely is a company guy. You could send him anywhere and he'll do right by you, if you will. So I understand why he's the IC champion. Darren Young, on the other hand, won probably two matches for this match and, like, that's it. Like, come on. Like, anybody in an IC championship match should have at least have a streak going, should at least have proved himself a lot more than two matches to get a title shot. I think they always rush things like this just to book it at the next pay-per-view to where they could have had, you know, other guys working their way up for months. And then, you know, now they're finally getting a shot. And, you know, I don't know. Make Darren Young great again. He was never great in the first place. So I don't know what they're doing with him. Darren Young with Bob Backlund is the equivalent to Del Rio with Coulter over here. So I don't know. I don't like it. I'm over Darren Young. I don't really care about it. I think The Miz is going to retain. But if they're going to switch championships for each show, I think we'll see Darren Young win. But I just don't think he deserves it. Long story short. Jonathan, the ladies, my Natalia is having a match versus Becky Lynch. Heel Natalya versus Becky Lynch. Now, this is a SmackDown versus SmackDown match. Both of these ladies were just drafted to SmackDown. Becky Lynch really hasn't had any wins in a while, I don't think, or any credible wins. I don't know. She's kind of been just shoved to the side ever since WrestleMania. What do you think? What are we going to have out of this match?
I think that Becky Lynch gets a big win over Natalya because of the fact that she was kind of floundering. There was a lot of women that were wrestling, but now that the brands have been split, it's going to give a chance for certain people to shine. So I'm looking forward to seeing Becky Lynch and what she has to do. I hope that she wins over Natalya, mainly because I just don't like Natalya. I have nothing. Once again, I respect what she does in the ring, but that's as far as it goes for me. I'm not a fan of her work. And I just hope that Becky wins for no other reason than I want Becky to win.
There you go. Short and sweet and to the point. Now, Jonathan, a match some people are kind of not mad about, but it's almost as if they could have, you know, had these guys on separate shows. Right now, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens are Raw boys, and they're going to be fighting each other again. Do you think this needed to happen now, or could it have waited till SummerSlam or WrestleMania? Could they have built it up through the year to where, you know, hey, you put them on each, you put them on separate shows, and then, you know, either Kevin Owens attacks him on the other show, and then he sneaks into the other show. Like, they fight forever. They could have had this gag where no matter where they go, something happens with one of them, and just build it, build it, build it. But instead, we're just getting another Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens on Battleground. Raw boys, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that this is smart by the WWE for a while just to not have them fight against each other after this match. So, you know, it could be – they could have built it kind of similar to what they did with Edge and Matt Hardy whenever, you know, after the whole Lita thing, they would – anytime they found each other, they would, like, beat each other up, and then it ended up being, like, a loser leaves Raw match, which, you know, may still happen. I don't know. That would be pretty cool, but – I would say that after seeing the SmackDown roster, I would have loved to have either one of these guys on it. But I think that this match is going to be amazing just because anytime those two are in the ring together, you get amazing matches. If it has to be the last match for a while, I'm glad that now the brand split has happened to give both of these guys a chance. And I hope that whatever one walks away the winner ends up getting a shot at whatever championship remains on Raw or comes over to Raw after the Rusev and Miz matches. So I'm hoping for a Sami Zayn win just because I really like Sami Zayn, but I would not be upset if Kevin Owens won either just because both of them are amazing athletes and I am very happy to have them in the WWE.
Definitely. And I still feel Sami Zayn hasn't quite found his spot on the main roster. Like you said, you know, there's so many guys each week vying for TV time, vying for something, and I feel like he's just still hasn't connected with the main roster fans. Granted, you know, we all know him. We know him from NXT. We know him from even before then, but, you know, a lot of the younger fans out there probably just don't get him yet. I feel like he's got this, you know, worldly gimmick, travels around, got the little ska thing going, but still, I feel like he's just missing something. What? I don't know. They definitely need to let him showcase just what he does and talk more. And hopefully with this brand split, both of these guys are going to be the upper mid. They're kind of like lingering in the mid card right now. But I think after this brand split, these guys are definitely going to be, you know, main event players, definitely at least upper mid carder, borderline main eventers. So we'll see what happens, but I don't know. Kevin Owens, I guess. I think that's what we're going to get. I don't know. It's hard to tell with these two because it could be anybody's game. But lastly, this is what we've been waiting for 30 days, right, Jonathan?
Yeah, well, that's what Roman's been waiting for 30 days is his shot at redemption here. We will see what the collective WWE brass has thought about Roman Reigns. He got drafted to Raw, a pretty early pick, mind you. And we've got huge SummerSlam implications for this and huge just title implications. Dean Ambrose is the current champion. He is on SmackDown. Roman Reigns and Seth are both on Raw. What happens whenever we have a triple threat match for the WWE Championship? Who's going to walk away with this? I am going on record right now saying that I see Dean Ambrose retaining until at least SummerSlam, but anything can happen in the land of the WWE. What do you think is going
to
happen?
Yeah, I mean, you know, even going back to Raw, to where it was like it could have been anybody's pin. From that moment on, I was like, crap, you know, they're going to do it. This is how they're going to split up the championship to where they both want it. They're both going to claim they're the champion. And they're going to, you know, split the championships up to where it's a good part of the storyline instead of just saying, like, oh, hey, now SmackDown's going to have a championship to where, oh, they both won. They're both arguing. And then both companies rule that each will be their own champion. I get that as a good storyline point. So that didn't happen, though, because you had to tune into the network to find out that Dean Ambrose did retain. But then he had the rematch on Raw on SmackDown live, and he won then. But now, you know, you get this triple threat, and I think the greatest way, or I'm going to, dare I say, called it again, just to, everybody else is going to say they called it all weekend, so why not start right now? I think we could have Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins pin Roman Reigns to where then they could take that to the bank and argue that each of them won, instead of having a rematch and guys are on different rosters now, that they just split the championship. So I'm thinking they're going to go that route to where we get a SmackDown champion, Dean Ambrose, and we get a Raw champion and Seth Rollins. It writes itself. Roman Reigns doesn't win because you're not going to give a guy who failed a drug test the championship right away. That doesn't look good for anybody, especially a publicly traded company right now, to where I can see the headlines now if they gave Roman the win, to where Roman fails drug test but still wins championship. You know, it's like, it doesn't make sense. We said it weeks ago to where, why even keep him in this match? Why even drag it out this far? But they did, and so now we need a winner, and I think, if anything, Jonathan, they're going to have both of them pin Rollins. Both of them are going to pin Reigns. And then from there, we'll get a little shenanigans and split the championship up. I think there's no better way to bring it about, you know, because if you do play it out to where, okay, Dean Ambrose wins, okay, now Raw's going to be like, well, we don't have a champion. Like, what are they? They're really not really working with each show. Then I think they want to keep these as separate as possible. And, you know, there's really no better way to do it than just have both of these guys win. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. We'll see what happens. You know, 30 days, Roman Reigns has been out. The fans are sure to boo him. But what do you guys have to say? That's what we want to hear from you. So head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. You can find all of our links on Twitter, to Facebook, to Podbean, to TuneIn, to Player FM, yada, 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 guys. You know the deal. It's social media. It's 2016. Like us, follow us, subscribe to us, comment, tweet us, all that fun stuff. And we'll respond. And, hey, we'll play the best calls on our show, too, if you call the AWP hotline, 802-AWP-7672.
Well, that's the show. We want to thank you all for listening today.
Every week we do this show free of charge for you, the fans.
And if you're wondering how to repay us, we have just the thing.
Subscribe to us on iTunes.
Hey, and while you're there, be sure to rate us and give us a good review.
If you're looking for more information about AWP, then head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com.
We are all over social media, and you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and more.
If you are an AWP superfan, you can also show your support by going over to prowrestlingtees.com/anotherwrestlingpodcast and buying one of our official AWP shirts.
We couldn't do this show without you, so tune in next week for
Another Wrestling Podcast.